for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history.
Go down in history.
Has another blood-bought faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever wanna be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
'Cause I'm just a nobody,
nobody,
trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, you got to understand, you know, Jonathan, king's son, he has an armor bearer to carry a shield, and he's armed out too. And so he has backup. He's going to carry along extra equipment. And so he says to him, let's go across to the outpost of these pagans. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Now he's going to make a decree and a declaration. Perhaps the Lord will help us. And now he's going to say something definitive. At first he says, I'm not sure exactly what God's going to do. But then he says, but this is what I know about God. Nothing can hinder the Lord. We need to say that this morning. Nothing can hinder the Lord. We need to say it again. Nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a what? A few. Many or few. Doesn't matter. And the armor bearer says the right thing. Because if he had said something else, he should have been fired. What does he say? Do whatever you think best. I'm with you completely. Now the word talks about if two or three agree as touching anything. Let me tell you what kind of prayer partners you want. You want prayer partners like Jonathan's armor bearer. You want a prayer partner when God tells you to get out of the boat that they're going to say, I'm coming with you. I'm going to stand with you. I don't want somebody just praying with me. I want them praying and standing. I want to be able to see them praying, standing, and walking with me. And the closer I get to the enemy camp, I may just look back to say, you still there? I mean, you're going to stand with me. I'm looking for somebody. If I'm going to face the enemy and I might get killed in the process, I want somebody that's in it for life. Yeah, I was going to say that sounds too political. Let's just say it, in it to win it. Yeah, that's it. Because the victory is the Lord's, right? You know all this stuff, but it's good to be reminded. So I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. All right, we'll cross over. Let them see us. Come on up here, and we'll teach you a lesson. Come on, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. For the Lord... Now, okay, here's another declaration. It's a decree and a declaration. For the Lord will help us defeat them. But we need to get that first part. For the Lord will help us. The Lord will. Too many times we say the Lord could. The Lord can help. So many Christian people live in the natural so much. We understand God wants us to live a supernatural life. So, they climbed up. Now you're going to get a picture of this, how steep it is. This was not like climbing the little pavement trail up in the Smoky Mountains to go out to Klingman's Dome or whatever, where you have a nice pavement. It's nothing like that. No. So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and they're dragging their spear and their daggers and whatever else they have with them up the side of this mountain using both hands and feet. And the Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, killed those who came from behind. Jonathan's in the front. As he comes to one, God gives him victory. Somebody comes around the side. They're trying to get up the backside. The armor bearer takes care of the back and takes that one out. And so the word says they killed some 20 men in all. Yeah, well, that's not a whole lot. Well, it's 2 to 20, and they were climbing up on their hands and knees. And their bodies are scattered over half an acre, approximately. And suddenly, this is the God factor that's going to take it beyond what they are doing with their hands. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including the outpost and raiding parties. All of those different areas are given so that we would understand that the panic that God put on the enemy hit every one of them. Every one of them. When you pray, don't think for a minute that God is not at work. When you're praying for your loved one, when you're interceding, when you're standing in the gap, when we pray against the darkness that's going on in our government, when we pray for exposure, don't think for a moment that God is not at work. God is the same God this morning. And so panic broke out. And just then, an earthquake struck. Father God, I'm looking for some more earthquakes, and I'm looking for some more earth shakes. I'm looking for some more panic in the enemy's camp, because the church is believing God and praying in faith, and not just praying, but we're putting feet to our prayers and we're stepping into the lion's den. Everyone was terrified. Saul's lookouts in Gibeah of Benjamin saw a strange sight. Well, out of 600, they should have had somebody watching what's going on, right? They were watchers. They were spectators. So they saw a strange sight. What did they see? The vast army of Philistines began to melt away in every direction. Turn with me to Ezra. We got to go to Ezra real quick. Ezra. Now in the book of Ezra, at this place, now there's four different returns. Israel, they're in Babylon. And from Babylon, we will have these four different returns as God begins to bring them back. Remember, Daniel was reading in the Word, and he understood from Jeremiah that in 70 years that Israel would be released to go back home again. And so in the book of Ezra, in chapter 1, we have the first exiles. They're going returning back to Israel. In chapter 2, we have King Cyrus dying, and we have a second group, Zerubbabel and Joshua, heading back to Israel. The people are beginning to go back. And then we have a third group of exiles returning with Ezra in chapter 7. And so here we are in chapter 8. And I want to just point out, we're going to start down at verse 21, because this is the part that I sense the Holy Spirit really wanted us to get a hold of today. And there by the Ahava Canal. This is Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, the New Living Translations. And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to what? Fast? You see fasting there? Some of you are still trying to find it. I gave orders for all of us, to fast. I want you to get what the orders are. All of us to fast. Humble ourselves before God. We prayed that He would give us. Now we're going to see the things they're going to pray for. So, first of all, we have Ezra giving this order, this decree, that all the Jews that are returning, that together all of them fast, that all of them humble themselves, and that all of them pray together, and this is what they're going to pray for. First of all, that God would give us safe journey. Specific, safe journey. Number two, the safe journey includes the protection. But the protection for who? Us, our children, and what? Our goods as we traveled. All right. So here is Ezra getting ready to go back. He's with the third group that's going to go back to Israel. And we see how he is calling the people to fast and pray. We hear the prayer. But verse 22 gives us some interesting information. Ezra says, "For I was ashamed, to ask the king for what? Soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from our enemies along the way." And then we come to this line. Look at this. "After all, we had told the king, our God protects. I want you to get this morning. Our God protects all those who worship him, but his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. Now, last week, we were looking at these declarations, these proclamations, these decrees that are coming out of our mouth. And we noticed that when Jesus spoke, he spoke the word. We read the scripture that from the mouth we speak life or we speak death. And many people with their mouth are constantly speaking death. And then they wonder why are so many things wrong in my life, in my business, in my home, in my family? Why are so many things wrong? But they are speaking with their mouth and giving license to the enemy. So let me ask you a question. With the same mouth that I can speak death, can I not also speak life as a child of God? Can you not also speak life with this mouth? Can you not also pray for life, declare life, call forth life? We looked at that with the dead bones. Speak life. Call it forth. Call forth the life of God into these dead bones, into the dead bones of your nation, right? Look at what happened. The king was basically giving Ezra everything he asked for. And he's taken back all of this wealth, all of these treasures for the temple. He is carrying a king's ransom with him. He knows that it is going to be a risky adventure to head back to Israel without an army escort, because it would be like the Wells Fargo without a lock on the door. He's got the loaded truck. He's got all this wealth, and everybody's going to know they're coming. It's not like somebody's sneaking through the night. No, this is a whole group of people, and he doesn't have the army with him. But he did something. He did something. When he was talking to the king, he made this proclamation to the king. Our God protects. Father, help us with all of the power and authority, the Word of God we have through the Holy Spirit, to get a hold of this. He actually put himself on the line and put his faith on the line and put God on the line to the king. He said, you send us out, you're sending us with all this stuff. I don't need an army escort because my God's going to take care of me. I believe someone this week, maybe starting from this moment, this Sunday morning, needs to say, my God is big enough to take care of me. I don't need the army escort. I don't need anything else. I'm just going to, you see, with our mouth, we can say, we can speak the Word of God. We can stand on the Word of God. And so he did that. And he commits himself completely to God. Completely to God. He's trusting totally in God. Here they are. They're ready to leave. And he said, wait a minute. We're going to fast and pray before we go any further. We're going to fast and pray. And we're going to humble ourselves before God. And we're going to declare before our God that he is our protector, and he is going to protect our children. He's going to protect all of us, and he is going to protect our stuff. And they fasted together. They prayed. And they believed God. And what happened? What happened? We earnestly prayed that God would take care of us, verse 20, 23, and He heard our prayer, and then dropped down to verse 31. We broke camp at the Ahava Canal on April the 19th, started off to Jerusalem, and the gracious hand of our God protected us and saved us from enemies and bandits along the way, so at last we arrived safely in Jerusalem, where we rested for 3 days. So, in that passage, we see that the danger was real. What about for Jonathan? Danger was real. We see the decree and the declaration. They bound themselves to the Word of God and made it a decree, a declaration and decree. And they stood on it. And then they stepped out on this spiritual journey, and God took care of them. The victory, like that song, the victory is ours when the battle is the Lord's. Family, I have to tell you that these are days where no man is going to have an answer for us. Either we're going to trust God or else we're going to live in fear. No other option. No other option. Either we're going to trust God. Let me tell you how we're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to trust Him completely, Michael. Completely. I mean, with our own lives, with our children, with all of our stuff, and we're going to have to trust Him with every step we're taking. We're going to have to get up in the morning, and we're going to have to just commit ourselves into the hands of God and say, Father, I'm trusting You completely. Completely. You may say, well, I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with that. What do I need to do? Just do what Ezra did. Fast along with your praying. Makes all the difference in the world. Fast along with your praying. What does fasting do? Fasting sets aside our normal schedule, our normal provision, and it sets us in a place where we are focused in a more intense way to seek the face of God. It's not that God needs you and me to fast. It's that we need to get the stuff out of the way so we can hear what God has to say. Yeah. Get the stuff out of the way so we can hear what God has to say. Fasting. It clears the rubble out of the path. It opens up our spiritual receptivity in a whole new manner. It is not easy to do, but it is biblical to do. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you are here, if you're watching this morning, if you're listening this morning, if you are physically able and you are facing severe, difficult challenges with yourself, your family, your children, your stuff, where you live, where you're going, what's coming ahead of you, if you're able to do it, make a purposeful call upon God. If you're on medicines and stuff, check with your doctor. I'll tell you to do all of that. But let me tell you, most of us could go without a meal. Most of us would not die if we missed a meal. But don't just miss the meal, and this is where I've missed it before. I have fasted without setting aside that time, and I realize now that in my years of fasting, and I did this for like 3 years, and said, Lord, I don't really see anything coming out of this. Why is this that I'm not seeing the results that I really desire to see? And the Father dealt with me about that and said, because you've stayed just as busy as you were before you fasted. You've been busy with your whole schedule. You didn't change your schedule. And so I now understand that if I am going to seek God and see the rubble cleared out of the way, I'm going to have to clear some of the rubble out of my schedule so I can seek God, so my ears will work better, so I can hear better, so I can receive better. And maybe you don't have that issue. But for me, I was listening to Nick. Nick was sharing the other night with COVID. He said, I believe you said, I feel like I'm closer to God now. Bob, I sense that I'm closer to God now. Yeah, but the devil meant to distract you, to destroy you. The enemy meant to kill you. But instead, you are closer to God now. So out of the valley and the testing that you went through, God literally cleared some things out of your life so you could focus without distraction. And so to you who are in the body of Christ, you are in my family here in this fellowship, those who will watch, I want to encourage you that when you get to a place where you're not able to see the next step, God has promised the steps of the righteous are led of the Lord, but I have to be willing and understand what God is saying if I'm going to be led of the Lord. And if you're at that place, I want to encourage you this morning, as you look in the Word, you find the Scripture, this is what God has said, I know what God has said, and then you look at what's ahead of you, and you say, but I'm aware of the fact that I can't do this by myself, then it may be time to say, God, I sense for this breakthrough that I need to let go. I need to set aside a time and a place where I can seek your face so that I can pray my way through to the next step. How do we climb up and face the enemy? How do we go up when the enemy has advantage? How do you make progress when we're in a season in our nation where all hell is in the streets? We make progress by seeking the face of God and moving forward and not saying, I'm looking for an easier route. I'm looking for some safer path. No, Jonathan, I believe, gave us a principle. If God's in it, nothing's too hard. If God is leading your life, then nothing is too hard. If the enemy is glaring at you and boasting at you and roaring at you, then you and I must say, hallelujah! This is most certainly the plan of God to deliver us at this time. The bigger the giant, the bigger the battle, the bigger the hurts, the bigger the hang-ups, the bigger the move of God. The bigger the move of God. And I am confident of this truth. I'm confident of it. Jesus in the garden. In the garden is praying, if it's possible, let this pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, 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 thy will be done. And then the angels came and ministered to him. Some of you have had angelic messengers. Some of you have been at that place where you were at the end of your strength. You were at the end of your plans. And God met you there. And the ministering spirits came. And the Holy Spirit strengthened you and encouraged you and lifted you up. And I want to encourage you to see yourself as a Jonathan and as an armor bearer that's out between the two mountains, and the enemy has you surrounded, but you're standing.